Hey, I'm Ethan.
Hey, I'm Mike.
I watched the first half of Chariots of Fire.
I watched the second half of Chariots of Fire.
And this is the other half.
Dun,
dun, dun, dun. No, Mike.
What's going on?
No. This.
It won an Oscar.
It won an Oscar, sure. But we're out of this 2026, excuse me. I was talking about 2016 earlier today.
Holy shit. Yeah. Right, no, 2026 Oscar.
2026 Oscar season is over for us.
Yes.
But
F1 dabbled a little bit into this month, and so we're starting a new weird month.
All about racing, baby.
All about racing movies.
Racing movies. Because why not?
Why the fuck not?
It's not something I'm really versed in. What's the
not at
genre?
All. And so, you know, it's only appropriate that this month began with two Oscar-nominated, one which wins the Best Picture nomination.
Yeah, and then Chariots of Fire.
Yeah, exactly. Very funny.
Mike looked really upset that I had the same job.
I'm upset.
Mike looked so annoyed, like I just took the glory from him. Like he was running real fast, about to hit the finish line.
My ass.
And then I just busted through with the ugliest looking face.
This privileged fucking British guy just fucking outclasses me because he hired an Italian guy who's also half Arabic, who's played by a white British man to train him to race really fast. What a film this was. What an experience it was. Here's the thing. So I was the one that chose this movie.
Yeah.
I also chose the next movie we're going to talk about next week. And like these were both movies that I was like, I've heard about these movies. They both have something to do with racing. This movie, the music in it is like in everything.
It's
like
iconic.
It's very iconic. Yeah. It's something that is easily parodied. I don't know a goddamn fucking thing about this movie. It won Best Picture the year it came out.
It's funny because I watched it a long time
really?
Ago when I was a kid.
I don't even
remember.
Fucking...
But look, this movie, watching it as an adult, about as memorable as when I was a kid.
I'm just like, what the fuck were we smoking? And the thing, I was watching this and I was like, I hate the thing of like, oh, like there's like grown up movies and then there's like fun movies, right? Where it's like sometimes a Best Picture win, like in the past, you know, like Godfather is, I think, an incredible film that like, I don't think it won the Best Picture, but it's like, it's an incredible film. It's an adult film, but it's also like, I think really fun and engaging to watch. This movie is fucking boring.
This movie is
shit.
So boring.
And it's like, I was like, am
Thank
I
Thank God you
dumb?
Agreed. No, because I was one watch this whole thing. I'm like, what do people see in this?
And it's also, here's the other
this
thing.
This feels like boomer. This feels like, back in the day, they were just looking, it was navel gazing is what it felt like.
Yes.
And it was just like, ooh, look at these British people and how great the sport of running
was. It was also not well made. Like, there are so many bad shots in this movie. Like, I think the music is good. I'm willing to give the music being very good. It is very strange when, because I was mostly waiting for the Chariots of Fire song.
That happens right at the beginning of my movie.
It happens at the very end of mine.
Yeah.
The very end during the credits. But then all the other stuff is like weird electronic music, which obviously Chariots of Fire.
It's because it's the 80s movie.
Right. But it is really strange to, like, it almost reminded me a bit of like Marty Supreme, where it's like weird 80s style film, like music occurring at the same time as like early, because like obviously this movie does not take place in the 80s.
Yeah, it takes place in the 20s?
Yeah, like forever ago.
Ages ago, 100 years ago.
I don't know. It's like, there's some interesting choices. I just don't think it's very well constructed, well shot film. And like, I looked up the director, motherfucker made nothing. He's never made a goddamn movie other than this. Like, he's made other films, but he's not made anything on the same level as this. So, like, I think the writer's done other stuff, but I'm just like, what was it about this movie that like captured the hearts and minds? I read a little bit about like how, like, I guess Roger Ebert like was behind this film. He really liked it. And like, that's the thing is like, I don't want to sound like a fucking Philistine. Like, I'm like, I can appreciate a slow film, you know, about like, you know, dreams come true and people working hard. But man, my half of the movie opens with like a man who literally lives on a fucking mansion and gets his, all of his like, handmaidens or whatever to set up a fucking,
course
for him.
Obstacle course.
And he literally like tests whether or not he's going to be good by putting champagne on the steeple chase, like hurdle things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I could not hate this man more. Like, you have done
terrible... You're not really supposed to like that guy anyway, right?
Aren't you?
I mean,
I don't know.
He's just
he's
to be
part
kind
of the
neutral.
Team.
He's part of the team, but I don't know. He's not one of the two main characters,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like, two main characters.
Two main characters.
We have a man that looks like Frankenstein.
Abraham's?
Yeah, Abraham's. Harold? Abraham's. And yeah. then we have like Christian Buzz Lightyear.
Christian Buzz Lightyear is a perfect way to describe him.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Right? Because yes. that's what
also,
he is.
All right. This is the most British movie because every motherfucker looks the same. Mm-hmm. It is so hard for me to tell all these little white boys apart.
It's true.
And they all wear like a uniform.
Yeah, they're all wearing
uniforms.
They're
all looking the same with the same type of haircut.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, and I watched the beginning. Like, I was supposed to know who these people are and learn who they are. But like, I'm just people talking to each other. I'm like, this is awful. This is all boys too.
It is all boys. All of them white. I will say, Eric, the Buzz Lightyear Christian guy we're talking about, he isn't British.
He's Scottish.
He's Scottish.
It's true.
Just want to say, but that was the other thing. I was like, okay, so he's Scottish, and in my half of the movie, it seems like he's got like a chip on his shoulder, and I was like, oh, it's because he's fucking Scottish and he hates, you know, the British rule.
No,
that's not what it is at all.
He just loves God a lot.
He just loves God more than
he doesn't want to go to China anymore.
Yeah,
he just wants
which is fair. Like, I was watching this, I'm like, I could see an interesting movie made about this guy. Like, I did a little bit of like the smallest amount of research.
Yeah,
and I don't want to like go like, oh, these are like bad historical people. Like, I think this guy was actually like kind of cool. I think like the Harold guy, he seems kind of interesting. I dig this idea of like I guess you're hiring a minority to help you be good at the thing that you're good at. But like, he stood up for, you know, his coach or whatever, Sam.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, you know, he's not like a bad guy.
Well, back in the day, also, there's more anti-Semitism, I guess, back then. Too,
sure.
Supposedly. I don't know.
So, probably.
I don't know. Wasn't around back then.
But I'm around now, and there's plenty of it.
There's plenty of it.
But, you know, I'm like, I'm not gonna disparage, like, the historical accounts of these men. I'm just saying this movie is a bad film. I think it's a very poorly made film. I think the racing scenes are pretty cool. I will say, too, I thought it was cool. It reminded me a lot of, this is gonna be a weird comparison, it reminded me a lot of Rocky, where I was kind of impressed by, like, the physical, like, acuteness of the actors. Like, they're clearly good enough to be able to like run really quickly and like, I don't know, I'm like, that's kind of impressive.
No, I mean, you're right. You're absolutely right. I think for me, what's weird is this movie kind of reminded me of, and if I close my eyes, maybe it's because it's just so British, it reminds me of 101 Dalmatians.
I was worried that Rocky was a bit too much.
No.
I see what you're saying.
It's the vibe though. It's the British people talking about shit and they're just kind of so, I don't even know what the right word is.
Boring.
They're just monotonous. So matter of fact, it feels like they're talking about the most important thing in the world when it's like not. Yeah. You know, like fucking the dog. What's the dog's name? Pongo?
Pongo?
Pongo is talking about his master, right?
Yeah.
And he loves his dog, his owner,
right.
Roger.
Right.
And he's just like, oh, this is the best person ever. He's got this whole thing with Anita and da-da-da. And he's talking about it with such importance. It's how the same way everyone talks this movie about these British people just going to do running real
fast. We're going to run the Olympics and we're going to beat everybody.
Yeah. That's kind of it. And I'm just like, none of them really are facing like huge
adversity.
Okay. Except for the Jewish guy getting Jewish jokes thrown at him every so often.
Harold getting Jewish jokes thrown at him. Him working with Sam, who also has faced adversity his whole life. But he's not a main character, and he's played by a white guy with, like, weird dark face. And then you've also got, I guess, Eric, because he's Scottish.
Eric's Scottish, so maybe there's something, you know, Scottish in
the
20s.
But, like, these are, I don't know. Like, here's the thing. These are adversarial things. The movie does a very bad job of framing them as actual.
It kind of assumes
hold the pun, hurdles to jump over.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
There's not a lot of stakes for me to get behind. It's
the
like,
stakes
why do
are,
I
want to run real fucking fast.
And the other one is, I want to run real fast for God.
Yeah.
And that's kind of it. And I'm like, all right, you go, guys. Mm. I don't know why I have to watch 2 hours of this.
I was watching the movie and I'm like, wow. Because like halfway through my half of the movie, I was trying to give the movie the benefit of the doubt.
Me too.
I was. Thank you. This is so, man, this is what I love about this podcast. Sometimes we don't see eye to eye.
Well, sometimes you see like, you feel like a crazy person.
Yeah, I do.
Movie, and you're just like, is this bad?
No, it is.
Or is it just me?
Yeah.
And especially when it's something I looked up, I'm like, okay, now I know this is like famous culturally because of the song and everything.
Yeah.
But is it good? And I looked up one of these Academy Awards and everything, and I'm like, am I taking crazy pills?
No, man, I don't think you are.
It's just not that great.
I was like going crazy because I was also like, I don't care about fucking anybody. I will say, I didn't pick up on the main, character, Harold, being like Jewish. Again, the only character.
They kind of dropped that whole thing because,
they mentioned that he's a Semite. That's pretty much it. But I didn't know
there's a cool truck that carries people around. Yeah, got it.
Semi.
Yeah. I mean, he's got a dump truck. You know what I'm saying?
He's got it. He, dude, honestly, that guy. I made fun of him earlier for looking like Frankenstein. He's got a body, man. He worked hard on his fucking body. That actor.
They're all running. They're all running so much.
But yeah, I don't know. What was I gonna say? Because I was going crazy. Oh, there's one scene in halfway through my half of the movie where Eric. He has like this whole like speech, which apparently is supposed to be super motivational. And the speech is basically going like, look, man, like to God, it doesn't fucking matter. Like nation, nation doesn't fucking matter. And he like reads from the Bible and he talks about like how like God doesn't care about nations. He doesn't care about like where you're from or how much money you have. You know, none of that stuff fucking matters. And like it's overlaid with them racing at the Olympics. And I'm like. For a second, I was like, it's really cool that they got a guy to direct a movie about people running the Olympics that couldn't give less of a shit about the Olympics. Because that's what this is like reading to me. Is like, yeah. None of this actually matters, the whole Olympic thing. And then the movie keeps going, and I'm like, oh, no, they actually seem to really care a lot about the Olympics. You know? So I'm like, well, then what the fuck am I supposed to care about?
I guess it's a show like he doesn't care. I mean, but he does, though.
He does.
He's like, I'm doing this for the glory of God.
Yeah.
So it's like... We shouldn't care, but also we should.
I think he's like, he's talking about, right. He's like
a bigger podium to preach. Sure.
I was like, his character, I did think like his character was interesting. I thought it was well acted.
Yeah.
Apparently that scene that where he reads like that monologue or whatever was written far too pious in the script. And the writer was annoyed because then the actor's like, I'm not going to fucking read that. My character wouldn't read that. And he like rewrote it. And now it's like the most famous, like inspirational thing. But to me, I'm like reading it. I'm listening to his speech. And I'm just like, yeah, I agree with him. Like none of this fucking matters. Like personal. And I think what the movie's trying to get at is like personal conviction is what matters. Like standing by your conviction, standing by what you believe in is way more important than anything.
I think that is the lesson of the movie. If you could take one from it.
But then. It's like they have their cake and eat it too, or they do that, and then they also just like win
the Olympics. Yeah, I mean it's a true story, right? You can't be like, "Well, you're not going to win the Olympics now," and people will be like, "Well, I came to watch a movie about my famous country that I love."
It's true. It's true. It is also weird because, like, I mean, spoilers—they do win the Olympics, and they go back to.
Can
Britain.
You imagine they made a movie about two people not winning the Olympics?
I was watching this movie, and I'm like, "That would be fucking amazing."
But also, like, the story's not compelling enough to make it. Like, to be, like, plucking people out of real life, be like, you know what? I want to make a movie about the losers.
Yeah, yeah. I would watch that movie.
If they had an interesting story to tell, but, like, it's not that interesting.
Like, I would love to make a movie about, like, a team and, like, market it. Like, these guys, like, despite all odds, won or whatever. And everyone fucking sits down and watches this Olympic movie and then they end up losing.
That'd be incredible.
I would love it. I would love it.
That's
how
marketing should be.
I agree. Just lie to the audience.
Just lie to them.
But, like, I was watching the movie and then the movie ends with them going back to Britain and I'm like, oh, it's gonna be a big fucking deal. They won the Olympics. This is incredible. It's like a couple of shots on a, like, backstage, like, somewhere and it's like a crowd of maybe, like, I don't know, like, 50 people and I'm like, this is not enough to like make me feel like they did something for this country. Like it feels like they arrived home and then like a smattering of people on the street were like, hey, good job guys, like where's the ticker tape parade, where's them going down the street, you know, like fucking like Piccadilly
or
whatever.
It doesn't matter, right?
It doesn't care. And I'm like, well, if I don't care about that, I guess I kind of care about the main characters, but I'm like, not enough to like, I don't know, man. It
not
was
enough to really get invested. I'd not just be really like, I don't really care what's happening next because I don't know. I just know kind of what's the vague thing of what's happening.
Tell me how the movie opens. Maybe if we put the two pieces together,
movie,
we'll give a shit.
The movie does open interestingly because it opens.
Oh, is it with the character dying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably how it ends, I imagine, too.
Well, it's hysterical because the movie ends, you're right, with them at like a church.
Yeah.
Like, and I was like, you know, watching the whole movie, these young boys. And then the camera just like pans over to this church and I just see like the worst old man makeup I've ever seen in my damn life. And I'm like, why is that guy dressed like an old man? That's crazy. I didn't understand what was going on.
Well, it's a funeral for Harold.
Abrams. Yeah.
Which is in a church, which is interesting.
It's just weird, right?
I wonder if Eric won. He converted him.
Apparently, historically, he did convert to,
that makes sense.
To Christianity or whatever.
There you go.
Yeah.
Eric continues winning, I guess. He won his soul, which is something you can't get at the Olympics.
Eric apparently, this is crazy. Eric, so you mentioned earlier that his parents were missionaries in China.
Yes.
Right? So Eric became a missionary after this, went back to China, and then during, like, the Japanese, like, it was thrown into a Japanese, like, camp, yeah, or whatever, when they like invaded China.
Yeah.
And he fucking died. He's dead. He died right after that. Yeah.
That's why I didn't know funeral scene for him.
Yeah. That would be really sad.
Dude, that's crazy.
So yeah, the two main guys just like, you know, like,
I want to watch. Why did they put that part in the movie? That part's way crazy.
I'm watching this. I'm like, Eric seems like a very fascinating character. I don't know if I'd agree with him 100% on everything he's ever said, but I'm like, oh, this is,
he's at least got some conviction, and that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
He eventually goes back. Wow, that's really depressing.
He dies. Yeah, damn. During the war. It's crazy.
Anyway.
So this is Harold's funeral. Yeah,
Harold's funeral. It's done by Andrew Lindsay, who I believe is that rich guy I think you were talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's his name.
I think that's Andrew.
You know, the rich guys live longer because they got all those secret things.
Because they got nothing to worry about.
Well, they got nothing to worry about, and they probably have some young child like hook up to him, and he's getting like blood transfusions from him.
Yeah,
or something.
That's right.
Anyway,
he's got a child hooked up to him, and he's hooking up with a child.
Oh God! Classic British shit, you know. Classic. You know, actually, he started Epstein Island. That was the crazy
that's
thing
right.
About
that's it. that was the ending title crawl. It's like, here's what happened to Harold. Here's what happened.
One died in China for his faith, and then Andrew Lindsay started a pedophile ring. God.
He introduced, was it the prince or whatever? The British prince, or whatever the fuck. Who cares?
Oh, yeah, that guy. that fucking guy.
That fucking guy.
Anyway, then we go to a flashback with a bunch of guys running on the beach with the music. Down, 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 down. They're just running on the beach. And man, it's very funny. We're just watching guys run. You ever think how funny it is just watch people run?
Yeah.
Like, it's just
in
like
slow motion.
In slow motion. I'm just like, this is what little kids do. You know?
Everyone runs.
Everyone runs. Yeah. It's like, I run to the airport. You know, it's like basically doing the World Series of Excel. You know, it's like, this is something I do as a function.
Yeah. But it's like watching someone shit.
Who shits the best? Who has the best poop?
Yeah. And you see their faces. I'm assuming
their faces are fucking funny.
Intense, but they're funny,
they're
right? Because it's in slow motion.
It's in slow motion.
I think there's one guy. I don't know who
it is. Is the first time slow motion was used in like a movie? Because they really
no way.
Yeah, probably not. But it seems like it might have been newer technology.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. There's one guy who's like running with the worst like form I've ever
I was gonna
seen
say, these,
in my life.
Everyone running
like,
just feels
T-Rex.
Like they've never run before in their life.
And I know they're running on like a beach. Like I know it's supposed to be hard, but guys, like keep the form. Like what are you doing? You're in slow motion. If I was an actor and they were shooting me in slow motion, the last thing I would do is like, I look like a fucking like
idiot.
Exhausted T-Rex running on this beach. Can we reshoot, please?
Yeah, it was really funny watching them all run. But anyway, so then we go to this guy earlier, he's writing, I believe it's Harold, he's writing to his parents, and is just like, oh, I'm in Cambridge now, aren't I fancy, blah 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 blah. And he goes to the freshman speech, and there's a guy there, and I did like this moment because the person introducing all the freshmen were like, hey, so you know, you see behind you a long list of names of all our famous alumni, and to you it means nothing, but to us, these are like people who conjure memories of glory and fondness.
And it's
all
like setting
stuff.
Up the movie for the audience.
Exactly, where it's like, these names probably mean nothing to Ethan and Mike.
Right,
one day they'll conjure up thoughts of a theme song and dying
waste of time.
Dying in China for being a missionary. So we got Harold, he's signing up for a bunch of classes, people are making some jokes about him being a Jew and trying too hard. He participates in this club called the Gilbert and Sullivan Club, which is a running club.
Yes.
He's
obsessed with Gilbert and Sullivan.
He loves them. He goes on this, I guess there's some sort of like race that's very special to this place where they have to do, when the clock strikes noon, it does like 12 chimes, right, to signify it's noon. So what they have to do is they have to run around basically this whole courtyard before the last strike hits. So he's like, all right, I'm going to do it. So they're all ready for him to do challenge. And they're like, does anyone else want to do it? And then our buddy Lindsay, Mr. Lindsay, comes over here and is like, all right, well, I'm gonna race as well. And then they go around and the professors are watching like, I wonder what this Jewish kid has, what it takes. He's so fast. And then he does. He beats it. He's one of the first people to ever beat the challenge.
Whoa.
Just by a little bit. And the other guy.
Had he any previous running experience?
Yes, he's been running before.
Oh, okay,
this
good.
Is one of the, I think, I don't know if that's a reason he's at the college, but I mean, that's probably one of the reasons I would assume. Because everyone was like, he apparently runs like the Dickens. And then we cut to Scotland and we see Eric Little, who is, I guess he used to play rugby. And he's giving trophies away to like, I don't know, some Scottish like fun racing thing. they're like, oh, well, you know, he gives a speech. He's really good at speaking and has a lot of presence to him. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, well, you know, the main event hasn't even happened, the 200-yard open championship.
Oh.
He's like, are you gonna enter? And he's like, eh. And they're like, come on. And they're like, fine, I'll do it. But his wife doesn't seem very happy about it.
Right.
And
Eric's wife. Yeah.
Although, is he her wife?
No, he's her husband.
Well, but I mean, are they married?
I thought they were just boyfriend and girlfriend, but okay. I could be wrong.
I don't know. They
are in a relationship together.
It felt like they were in a relationship, but also not. It was weird. They had a weird chemistry. Like, they didn't feel like they really loved each other, but they felt like they cared about each other.
Maybe they are married.
Or they could be brother and sister.
I don't think they're brother and sister. I think they are supposed to be romantic. I mean, it's like maybe they were married like really young, you know?
Maybe, because
like they're both like, you
super
know,
religious.
Yeah.
Maybe. Anyway, so he enters and he does it and he wins. Yeah. And everyone's like, you're such a fast. You're a fat Scott.
You're a fat Scott.
Fat Scott. Fast Scott.
I'm fat bastard. Yes,
exactly it. The awesome powers got to me.
I'm going to die in the camp.
No.
Get in my belly.
That's what I said as I was starving. So they said some guy named Sandy. You meet Sandy in your half. He's just kind of like this red-haired Scottish person. Yeah, yeah, he's fine. He's fine.
He's talking to a
priest. He's like, yeah, it was God's a dictator, the priest says. And he's like, yeah, but he's a loving dictator. He's like, okay.
Weird.
Some kids are playing, and they run across Eric, and he's like, you know what day it is? He's like, oh, yeah, it's Sunday, sir. He's like, Sabbath's not a day to play football. Yeah. Get back to yourself. Don't get in trouble.
Yeah.
He's very caring about kids, but, you know, he doesn't want them to play football on the Sabbath.
Sabbath is a very important thing.
Got to rest.
Yeah.
So then Sandy proposes a toast to the Liddell family. There's a lot of them are going back to China.
Mm-hmm.
I think his parents are going back to China.
Yeah, they're missionaries.
He's sticking around here along with his sister wife.
How are you gonna meet these women? You know, you gotta
exactly.
It's a lot easier there in the family.
They're right there. And you know where they've been.
You know where they've been. Yeah. You know their history. Yeah, yeah. You grew up together. Yeah. You've all been to the same places.
I don't need to check your resume. I am your resume. Sandy's mentioning, I'm gonna rule you with a rod of iron. I'm gonna make you a great runner. Again, sister wife is not happy about this. I don't know her name.
I think it's like Clara or something,
sure,
right?
Sure, whatever.
Let me see. I'll look it up.
The preacher's there, and he's like, you know, you're a lucky man, Eric. You should put those talents to good use. We need more muscular Christians to make folks sit up and notice.
Ooh.
You should run for Scotland in the Olympics. I think it'd be really good to use your talents. Let the world stand back and wonder how a Christian can run that fast.
Mm-hmm.
And then he sings in a choir. Some little kids are very excited because he's so fast. There's a Scotland versus Ireland thing with him running, and he won. It was raining.
Oh.
And then he has a little speech afterwards, and then he talks. He's like, well, you know, I'm glad you all came out here to see this, to take part in it. I want to compare faith to running in a race, you know?
Yes.
It's hard. It takes a lot of discipline.
Yeah. This is all fair.
And then he starts like witnessing to people. I'm just like, yeah, you know, Christ is good and all that stuff. As soon as he starts talking about God, the rain stops. Everyone puts away their umbrella.
Oh.
And he says, you know, that's how you run a straight race. The straightest race of all is committing yourself to Christ. And then he walks down and everyone's like, all right. No one like claps. Just kind of like, all right, dude.
Just sort of like, yeah. I thought it was more of like a moment of resonance, but you were like, all right, man.
That's how I read it as. I'm sure it was a moment of resonance.
Jenny is her name.
Jenny.
Jenny spelled weird, too. It's like Jennie is her name.
I-E?
Yeah.
Mm, all right.
That's a sister wife for you, man.
Sister wife for you. We cut back to Mr. Abrams.
Mm-hmm.
What's his first name again?
Harold.
Yeah. Let's call him Harold. Did you call him Harold in your half?
I called him Harold. Yes, I did.
Okay.
Because it's easier to write than because his name is not Abrams. His name is like Abraham.
It's Abraham's, but they say Abrams.
Say it weird.
And I'm like, are you J.J. Abrams? I don't know. Anyway, so he's talking about how much he admires one of his friends. Mm. And he's like, all right, we got to start setting up shop here. In one of the finest universities, I'm like very privileged to get to be here.
Mm.
And he's like, you know, England is just, you know, so Christian. Is he like kind of has to get out of like basically forced mass in some ways.
Right.
Because he's
luckily,
Jewish.
Luckily he converts by the end of his life, I guess.
I guess it seems to work. You know, yeah. Enough of that. And then there's all these people singing a song off the screen, which I do like this scene because it just says these people singing, he's an Englishman. And they just start singing this. Mm. And it cuts to like kind of like a little montage, including the... him in the choir singing this song because
Harold?
he's joined so many clubs. He's right. Part of the singing club.
Well, he's he's in the the Gilbert and Sullivan club.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So he's loving it. He's doing great in Cambridge. And then we see the guy you were talking about, Sam.
Yeah.
He's talking to this guy named Colonel Kennedy. They're all getting ready for a race that Eric is participating in.
Mm-hmm.
And Harold actually went to go watch the race. So he's in the crowd. And
what does Colonel Kennedy look like? Is he a character that shows up later in the movie?
Maybe he's just an old guy.
Is he kind of like heavier set with like a pointy nose, and he's kind of like a messy dark hair?
So maybe you see him again.
Yeah, he's a weird guy. He's kind of like a lazy eye thing going on.
I think maybe
he's like smokes a cigar or something.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, okay.
But anyway, Sam is like there, and he's like, oh yeah, you know, I'm here to support my man Eric. You know, I'm like, well, I hope you enjoy your race. Or hope we enjoy the race. And Sam mutters to himself as he leaves. He's like, I've seen better organized riots. So Harold is there watching the race. And Eric goes and they start it off. They shoot the gun. He starts running, but he immediately falls over. And you see Sam going, get up, lad, get up. And he gets up and they're like, oh, man, this Eric guy is not going to win.
Yeah.
But he does. He wins.
Of course.
And he looks so silly winning. He has such a funny face as he runs.
Yeah. That's the thing is, like, they really do focus on how goofy their faces look when they reach the final.
Yeah. And I guess it's supposed to show kind of like how much work they put into this job and how much like physical
toll it takes.
Yes.
Yes.
But
it is goofy
it's
to see.
It's hard as someone who's not really into racing just being like,
it's I'd imagine
these just kids running around, you know?
I'd like to take like these last frames and then like put them like it's like when you come but she's still sucking.
Yes.
That's true. What it looks like a little bit.
Yes. Well, there's my social post for this
like a 40 years too late social post.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
From Chariots of Fire.
But it like It's just weird to me.
Yeah.
It's just a weird thing. So
as
then,
a person who does enjoy running too, it is funny to see people do this like competitively.
Well, I mean, it's like I think it's something about like how we see running now. Like if you watch running on the Olympics, it's so like machine-like. Like everyone runs a specific like gait because it's like the most optimal gait. So it like kind of looks cool and impressive because everyone's running so fast.
Yeah.
But like in the 20s, I don't know if they had that kind of like thing locked down. So they're just kind of like flailing everywhere and it looks silly.
Did you know, this is something I didn't know recently. Mm-hmm. So you know, like I think it's like Usain Bolt, like the way he runs.
Mm-hmm.
Like I didn't know this, but apparently when your feet are making contact with the ground, that's when you are accelerating. And when your feet are not on the ground, you're losing acceleration. And so when you're running, your feet should be hitting the ground as often as possible. It shouldn't be like a long gait where you're like going as quickly as possible. You're actually supposed to be like hitting the feet like on the ground because you're actually like moving forward.
We're propelling
quicker.
You faster.
Yeah, exactly. And so the ideal form of running would actually be like on all fours, like how like a cheetah does or something, where like you're touching the ground as often as possible.
Interesting.
Yeah. Isn't
that
interesting?
When is that going to come to the Olympics?
I was wondering. I was like, when are we going to see that shit? Because, like, you see how these goofy-ass white boys run, like, you know.
Put them on all fours like monkeys.
And then you see, like, you know, Usain Bolt. He's, like, running like a, like you're saying, like a piston, just like.
Yeah, it's, like, insane.
Yeah. And I'm like, when are we going to start seeing people, like, just fucking galloping, like, over the finish line?
All fours here.
Yeah. Would that even be allowed? Probably not.
I mean, I think it'd have to be a special type of... I mean, they have so many different Olympic like types of races, right? Why not do an all fours one?
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Throw it in there. They had breakdancing for a little bit. Whatever.
What
we saw that
one.
Oh, like...
Red Rocket? What the fuck is your name?
Ray Gun, I think. I think it was Ray Gun.
Ray Gun, that's right.
Classic, 2 years ago. Don't get that out of the Winter Olympics. There's no Ray Gun out of the Winter Olympics this year.
No Ray Gun.
You know? Anyway, so... Harold goes and talks to Sam, and he's like, hey, man, like, you did really good. Like, that guy scares me. You made Eric into a beast. Like, I want you to help me take him on.
Yeah.
And he's like, If you had a, are you dating someone?
He burps in his face.
Yeah, he burps in his face. Are you dating someone right now? He's like, no. He's like, well, if you were, how would you feel if she popped the question to you? Mm. He's like, and I'm like, oh, whatever. He's like, I'm the coach. I should be doing the questioning to you. You shouldn't be asking me.
Yeah.
But then Harold's like, I want that Olympic medal. Mm-hmm. And he's like, all right. Sam's like, fine, I'll watch you once and we'll see if you're good. I'll see if I can help you. And, you know, then if I can, then we'll move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see some play where a bunch of British people are dressed as Japanese people.
Fun!
Singing a song about being maids in school.
Is that the... That's a Gilbert and Sullivan play.
Sure, if you say so.
It is. Oh, my God. It's like the... Oh, my God. I'm going to look it up. But, yeah, there's a movie called Topsy Turvy, which is all about Gilbert and Sullivan making that play. They were, like, on, like, a downward strike. And then they made this... Let me look it up really quick. Topsy-turvy.
Oh, okay.
Topsy-turvy. It has an incredible cast. And it's about them writing Gilbert and Sullivan. Mikado? But yeah. Look at this fucking cast for Topsy-turvy.
You got the cast of Topsy-turvy.
Jim Broadbent.
Okay.
You know who he is?
Nope.
He is... You do know who he is. He's... Because you hate this movie. He's Zidler from Moulin Rouge.
Okay.
Yeah. Andy Serkis is in it.
Okay.
Timothy Spall is in it. Yes, you do know. He's the rat guy from the Harry Potter movies.
I don't know the rat guy from the Harry Potter movies.
Oh.
I don't watch that turf shit.
All right. Keep fucking going.
Wow. Two whole actors. Really, really impressive there.
Well,
Mike.
I'm looking at the rest of this. I'm like, there's no way you're going to know any of these other people.
It's got a stat cast for nerds like Mike.
But look, this is Timothy Spall in the movie.
Yeah.
I'm showing Ethan a shot of Timothy Spall in yellow face.
Yeah, at least in this, they're not really wearing yellow face because they're in geisha outfits. So they're wearing white face.
Oh, I see. Yes. But they're still in geisha outfits. Yeah. But that's Gilbert Sullivan play.
Yes. Okay. Interesting. So anyway, what? Why are you laughing?
I don't know. It's just very funny. I'm like, this is cultured, okay? They're doing this because it's a cultured reason.
I appreciate it. I mean, like, I'm glad you caught the reference.
And it's like, honestly, not a good excuse.
Yeah.
Could have done Pirates of Penzance.
Yeah,
could have done anything
something
else.
That aged a little better. Yeah. But, I mean, it makes sense for the clubs he joined, for sure. Anyway, so this one guy's like, hey, isn't that lady hot? Harold's like, yeah, she's actually really pretty. I'm gonna go ask her out.
It's Sybil.
Yes, it's Sybil.
Yeah, you know where she's from? She's a big famous actor now. As an old lady.
No, where's she from? What's she doing now? What's she doing now?
Just keep talking. I'll look it up.
Okay, she's the lady from Weapons.
No, but that's so close. Oh, she plays that kind of character a lot. Okay. She plays. I think she was like a creepy old witch in that movie Gretel and Hansel. I think that was her.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
She's a creepy old lady now.
There's another guy who. What does this fucking matter? Some guy who has a hotspur, but you know. Harold's got the got the gusto, and he goes and
Harold's
asks her
got
out for
the
dinner.
Main character energy.
Yeah, he goes and asks her out for dinner, and she's like, sorry, Monty. Guess you're having this free drink here for me. So then they go out.
She was
dinner.
In Sleepwalkers. She was the mom in Sleepwalkers.
Oh, now we're talking about a quality movie.
That's what I'm fucking talking
now
about.
Now we're talking about a real Oscar winner.
That's
right,
That's fucking right. Yeah. All right. Well, there you go.
So
that's
he goes,
what we know her for.
He goes to dinner with her. She's. Talks to a music critic, and she's like, oh, they are so nice to me up front, but like they'll riddle me in the papers. And she's so fancy and like put together, and he's just a little simple Jewish guy, you know, he just likes to run. You know, she has culture and everything.
Sure.
Yeah.
She's very cultured. She's she very was cultured. In a geisha outfit
exactly.
just now.
You know, that's from
Gilbert and Sullivan. Ethan had really forgotten.
No, I was gonna say that's from Japan.
That's from Japan, yeah.
That's culture. So yeah, he says, they drink like really fancy cocktails. She orders her favorite food. He doesn't ask what it is. He just says like, oh yeah, I'll get the same thing. Cause she just comes to this fancy restaurant so often. Mm-hmm. She's like, so
I'll have what she's having.
Yeah. Like, basically that. She's like, so why are you into running so much? And he's like, well, why are you into acting? She's like, well, you know, pays the bills. And she's like, no, I love
Come
it.
On.
It's my favorite thing. It's so good. It's my favorite. It's my passion.
What a good way of describing something.
And then he says, well, you know, I do it because it's like a weapon for me. And she's like, a weapon against what? He's like, against being Jewish.
Whoa.
She's like, you're not serious. Like, no one cares you're Jewish or not. He's like, you don't understand. Only someone who's not Jewish would say that. And he's like, fiddlesticks. People don't care. He's like, I'm semi-deprived. And she's like, what does that mean? He says, they lead me to water, but they won't let me drink.
Ooh.
And she's like, oh my God, you're so beautiful. And then the waiter comes.
You're such a tragic figure.
You're such a tragic figure, like Frankenstein. And then they bring out the food, and it's pig's trotter. And then they both laugh because he can't eat it.
I was going to say. Wait, but they ordered it though, right?
Well, she ordered it. He just didn't know what it was, so she ordered it as well. She's not Jewish.
Got it. But she doesn't even care. She doesn't even know.
She doesn't even know because whatever. Because
she's not Jewish.
She's not Jewish. But she does know that this is something
this
they
is not
do.
Appropriate. Even though, so she did order it.
Well, but she didn't know he was going to order it. She didn't order it for him. Okay.
Who ordered the meal that arrived at the table?
Okay. So we sit down. The waiter comes up to me and says, what would you like? And I say, my favorite, of course. And then you look over and go, I'll have that too.
Got it.
That's what happened.
Got it. Yes. Okay. Thank you. Because I was like,
now you're drinking a big old
thing
of IPA full of gluten.
Oh no.
Oh, no.
I can't drink this.
I'm just having a bunch of bread. My favorite.
Bring me my favorite.
A basket of bread.
Nothing else.
Leave the butter. I want the raw bread.
Yeah, just the bread.
Just the bread. You know what? Don't even heat it up.
Just wheat.
Just give me a bag
wheat.
Of Milton's. My favorite. You know what? You know what? I'm with the company of a Jewish man. Give me Ezekiel bread.
That was excellent. That was excellent.
Anyway, so... Liddell's going to race, I wrote everything differently. So Eric is going to race Harold.
Mm-hmm.
And they shake hands. There's a lot of tension between them. And they race. And it's a very quick race. It only lasts for like five seconds.
Uh-huh.
And
how is it like shot and edited?
It's literally just down the line and then they just pan the camera back and then they win.
Okay.
So
it's literally both actors running together. Yes. Okay, got it.
And, Eric wins the short race, and Harold is upset. In fact, he goes to Sybil, who's now seems to be like officially going out.
Yeah.
And she's like, why are you so sad about this? He's like, I lost. And she's like, yeah, but you did like really good. And he's like, I didn't come here to just get second. I came here to win.
Yeah.
She's like, you took a beating out there. He's like, I don't run to take beatings. I run to win.
Yeah.
It's like, what? You could do it next time. He's like, what do I mean next time? What do I aim for? I can't run any faster. I was running as fast as I could. And then they start kissing because I guess
they're so overwhelmed
with emotion. Yeah. And then Sam appears and is like, I get you another 10 yards.
And Sam's like, did you forget to ask someone?
I can help you. You forgot about me, didn't you?
Do you recognize Sam, the actor playing Sam?
He does look familiar, but I don't know who he is.
He was, you would know him as, I believe he's Bilbo. In the...
Which Lord of the Rings?
The originals.
Really?
It's Bilbo.
He has glasses on, so I couldn't tell. And he's...
he's got dark face.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know him as... He's Sam's boss in Brazil. I know him from that. He's Ian Holm. Oh! You'd also know him as the robot in Alien. Spoilers.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Or if you saw the new Alien movie, he's in that as well.
Is he?
Yeah. Oh, you didn't hear about that.
No.
They brought back his character, but he's dead. So they have like a weird AI like deep fake of Ian Holm as the robot. And he's just like, I'm a fucking robot and I'm back from the dead or whatever. And it's Ian Holm. It's crazy.
That's
insane. Spoilers all around. Anyway, wow, that's what you know.
Big spoilers for the Alien franchise. Last thing you'd expect to hear in the
Ian Holm is in it.
I know, but last thing I would expect. So then we get a montage of him getting trained. Sam showing him pictures of people who run fast. And he's like, literally, that's it. He's on a slideshow. He's like clicking through. He's like, how about this guy won the Olympics this year? And then Harold's like, this is the time he got. And I'm like, how is this helping?
What is this supposed to do?
But also, like, what are they supposed to do? They can't watch tapes because it's not like they film this shit.
I know, but, like, it's just funny to see, like, a montage. He's like, oh, I gotta train him. So here's all these fast people. Here's a photo of them.
Yes.
And then it's, like, one photo
okay.
And he's just, like,
maybe
a
I got ahead of time. It's not quite the montage yet.
Okay.
But they start off training. And then he's like, hey, so, you can pay me now. And he's like, I got 2 pennies. He's like, that's not enough. But we'll see if we can find you some more money. How about that? So now we do a montage from training with Sam. Sam is great because he's wearing like a huge coat and he looks like a little person running around because his coat's so big. He's just running around while Harold's running real fast. And yeah. Harold is...
Why is he a trainer? Like, what is he? What is he known for? Is he? Did he like?
Well,
win?
I mean, he helped Eric get real fast.
That's all it is. Just he helped so. Eric.
I don't know. He must have done other stuff. He's just one of those guys.
But they don't explain it.
Not that I cared enough to pay attention to. I didn't hear anything.
I thought it was gonna be like I fucking ran out of.
Not really. He's just like he makes people fast. Yeah. I don't know.
Okay. All right.
He doesn't explain it very well. I don't think. Or I don't. I'm not gonna blame me this time. You know what? It's just toxic
blame the
mentality.
Movie. Yeah, exactly.
I'm gonna blame this movie that we both both are convinced sucks.
Yeah, exactly.
Eric trains, but his wife is looking annoyed. I like Sam's routine because he makes Harold run with dogs. And there's like a lot of dogs. I'm like, I don't know where they get these dogs from. It's like 20 dogs are running with.
Where do they get the dogs?
Where do they get these dogs? They're just running with dogs.
Yeah. He shows them a slideshow of dogs that run fast too.
So Eric arrives to church. And Jenny, his sister wife, is upset. Mm. He's like, she's like, you're late again. He's like, look, I was training. And she's like, it's not me you've insulted. I'm like, it's no, God. It's you.
Yeah.
It's you.
God is upset. Yeah.
He's like, and Eric's like, the Lord will not feel slighted by this because I'm doing it for the glory of him.
You're right.
And she's like, well, don't worry about it. Your mind is, he says, I'm fine. And she's like, no, your mind is not with us anymore.
Yeah.
He's like, don't fret. And she says, I do fret myself, Eric. I do. And
because you're not around.
Yeah. And then some church choir girl that he saw earlier comes over and wants him to sign something as an autograph. And then Eric is like, I need to talk to you in private. So he talks to Jenny in private, not this random church girl.
Yeah.
And is like, hey, look, I've accepted that I'm going back to China. The missionary program accepted it to me. And she's very excited by it. She's like, oh, really? And then he's like, but I got a lot of running to do first. And then she looks more upset.
Right.
He's like, listen, Jenny, I believe God made me for a purpose, and it's for China. But
I he made me for a second purpose.
He did. He's like, I also could run real fast, though. Yeah. And also, I got my degree to work on. Like, that's the Olympic Games. It's like, it's going to be great. And she's like, is it enough for you? He's like, it's not enough, but it'll be something.
Yeah.
I need you to manage the mission on your own, Jenny. And she just looks and she's like, all right. She gives him a kiss on the cheek, then walks away. And then we cut to Sybil,
yes,
who is just complaining about, I lost him. I never see my man anymore. He's always talking about he needs to clear his mind.
Yeah.
And then we have
that one fucker.
Old Andy Lindsay. Andrew Lindsay. Is that a feeling that little Andrew's a little gay man? I feel like he's a little gay.
No, because he really likes Sybil, the two of them. Or, you know, he's always cuddling up on Sybil. But, you know, you think he's doing it as like a, hey, girlfriend, how's it going?
I feel that.
All right, I believe
feel
that.
Way. I feel that way, but yeah. I don't know.
I mean, he has incredible fashion.
He's
like
he
walking around in like a fucking like robe and shit.
The way he kind of carries himself just seems so much different from everyone else.
Did he get married? Was he a bachelor for life? That's the real question. Let me look it up. I wonder what happened to Andrew's life.
Rich guy. I know you didn't look him up before because he's a rich boy, but you know.
He's my least interesting character
he
in
is,
the movie, but yeah.
Yeah, basically Andy's telling Sybil, like, hey, you know, the world's all against your boy there, and now he has a chance to prove himself, so, like, let him do it. All you could do is wait and pray like hell that he'll win. Don't worry, I guarantee he's still in love with you. He's just really focused right now. But Andy, you know, Andy really seems into Sybil as well.
That's what I was saying. That's like, I'm not sure if this guy is like is a gay man, you know?
Well, you know, maybe he's a bisexual man.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
I know they weren't invented till recently, but... You know,
apparently this guy didn't even fucking exist.
Who's made up a character?
Lord Andrew Lindsay is a Cambridge student runner, partially based on a man named Douglas Lowe.
So these two people together?
Yeah.
Nothing gayer than
that. That's nothing gayer than two men together.
Two men together. Nothing gayer than that. Confirm my theory.
Yeah, that's true. You put two guys together?
Gotta be gay.
You gotta be a gay man.
Two guys on a podcast together? Gotta be gay. Anyway, and then we cut to Andy training, and that's the end of my half.
Yeah, I wrote down, he gets a bunch of his fucking butlers and shit to set up hurdles, and he puts fucking champagne on the bars to see if he hits them, and if they lose a drop. And I wrote down, literally couldn't get me to hate this guy more. Old man in charge talks to Harold. He's, like, in charge of, like, the college, Cambridge.
Oh, okay, yeah.
This guy, he's talking to Harold.
Before.
And he tells him he has brought shame upon this institution by bringing on a teacher who is half Italian.
Oh my God.
And Harold,
half
Italian. Well, yeah.
People are so weird with racism back in the day.
Well, then he's like, he's half Italian. And he's like, you've brought shame upon this institution by wanting to win at any cost, Harold. Yeah. Which is also kind of crazy because this is the guy who also trained Eric. Like, why did they not bring Eric in for the same reason?
Yeah.
But anyway, probably because Harold is a Jewish
Eric
man.
I don't think Eric works. It goes to, he just has nothing to do with the Cambridge. I don't believe.
So he's just
running. He's just part of, I think he gets on the team at some point, I imagine, but he's not part of Cambridge at all. All
right. That makes more sense.
We cut to Scotland. He's just having a good time over there and just running for God.
So they're like, Harold.
God,
like,
doesn't care about if he's Scottish or not.
That's true. Exactly. But these old white guys do.
Yeah.
And he's like, they're like, is he half Italian? And Harold's like, yes, but he's also only half Italian. And they're like, oh, okay, well, that's a relief. And he's like, the other half is Arab.
I'm sure that's much better.
And they're like, very upset about it.
Oh, okay, no.
They also seem upset because he's willing to win at all costs. He's offended. I, again, did not realize until, like, I guess the end, they're like, oh, that's a Semite for you or whatever. So they also hate him because he's Jewish. And they say, you're the elite and expected to behave as such. And he says that he will carry the future with him. And he just leaves. And as he leaves the office, they're just sort of, it's like these two old men who, like, run Cambridge. And they're just like, oh, team scones, blah, blah, blah. They, like, this did not ruin their day. This man going, like, I'm going to be the future and you are the past. And they're like, I don't fucking cares.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah. So they go to Paris. And everyone is boarding to Paris. Sybil says goodbye to Harold, wishes him luck. She says that she understands. And I'm assuming understands, like, you have to go run in the Olympics. Which, like, I know we're sort of, like, downplaying, like, the stakes of, like, running being the best in the Olympics, but I'm like, it is the Olympics. Like,
the Olympics.
If my boyfriend was like, hey, I'm gonna go run in the Olympics, mm-hmm. I'd be like, yeah, fucking do it. Like, that'd be cool as fuck. Like, even if you lose, you're in the Olympics. So I don't know why she's like, I understand, whatever. So she's like, I'll be waiting here for the next 3 weeks while you're gone. So they're boarding, and one guy's like, hey, Eric, are you excited?
I'm sorry. This just seems like such silly tension. Like, it's like Sybil's character is just there to be like, boy, I sure hope that guy is focused on winning the Olympics and will come back to me. And I'm like, okay.
He probably will.
He probably will. It sounds like he will, because that's what normal people do.
There's
usually
no tension here.
No,
at all.
There's no tension.
There is tension here, though, because one person is like, hey, Eric, I hear that you run on Sunday. Yeah. Now, I didn't know anything about Eric, so I see his face, utter horror, and I'm like, oh, okay, Eric is a coward, and he's nervous about running on Sunday because he's not prepared.
That's really funny.
No, it's because he's religious, and Sunday's the Sabbath, so he's not allowed to run there.
Chill out that day.
Some guy says, I think this is the guy, the main dude, the dude I was mentioning before that, like, smokes cigars and has a big nose and a lazy eye and brown hair. What the fuck is his name?
I don't know.
F.E.? Whatever.
Sure, whatever.
He's like, we'll be facing every civilized nation on Earth and winning. And this is the weird thing about the movie, too, is they keep talking about how, like, civilized Britain is compared to other nations.
Yeah, that's the thing, is it's so British in a way that doesn't...
I don't exciting. Like it.
It's weird British.
Yeah. It's a weird, like, hoorah, we're British, we're going to go in
we're going to colonize some shit.
And, like, America doesn't know what the fuck they're doing, and we're fucking British, whatever.
Shut up.
I don't like it. Eric, he's contemplating. He's like, I don't know what to do. Like, I know that running is important to me, but I can't run on Sunday. To run on Sunday would be against God. And he talks to this guy.
You know, this is just like all that AI company Anthropic that's like, oh, well, we have to take off our ethics board because no other AI company is using the ethic part. So how else are we supposed to keep up?
Yeah, exactly.
We have to bend our morals just to, you know, keep up because we got to win at all costs, baby.
It's exactly like that. But this guy's different. Eric is different. He's like, I can't run on Sunday. And he talks to this guy. And this guy's like, well, you know, the frogs aren't very principled, but maybe they might listen to your logic.
The frogs?
French. Because that's where the Olympics is.
Racism I don't even understand.
It is racism you don't understand, because that's what they refer to the French as. They're like, the frogs are not principled. Sure. Okay. And he's like, we helped them win a war, so I'm sure they're willing to listen to us.
I'll have to do it again in a bit here.
Yeah, exactly. So Harold is off playing Gilbert and Sullivan on the piano, and everyone on the boat is singing. Gilbert and Sullivan. Americans arrive. The British watch a newsreel of them arriving, and they seem very nervous. Mm-hmm. And then we cut to the Americans preparing for the Olympics. And I wrote down, music is electronic and fucking crazy. It was
kind of crazy.
It was crazy. It was awesome. Andy is running, and he gets second place. And I just wrote down, crazy to see the actors actually competing. Relatively dramatic. And then cut, and it's time for dinner, I guess. All the people competing get together, and they greet each other. And so we see a shot of, like, the team going up the stairs. Ethan, don't fucking pay attention to the cow right now. Pay attention to me.
On the wires. It's funny.
I know. It's very funny.
This is her favorite snack.
Hey, don't chew the wires, little girl.
She's going to chew the wires.
I know.
She's into it.
She loves the wires. She's like, these must be delicious. No. Hey, these are the only headphones that work. Don't do this to me.
No, she's got the chariots of fire. She's got a winning attitude.
Okay. All right. So, this is a crazy scene. You should probably even note on that.
No, I'm leaving it in.
Okay, great. So it's a crazy scene. So the crew, you know, the British go upstairs and they go up to meet a bunch of the other, like, people they're going to be facing off against.
Yes.
This camera is crazy. So mm-hmm. it's like locked down in a corner and we see everyone coming up the stairs. And so the camera like follows them up the stairs. I'm like, okay, so far it makes sense. And then the camera like pans over following them across the room. And it's them talking to someone, but it's the back of everyone's heads.
You know, they kind of do a similar shot earlier in the movie with when they're kind of a Harold sign up for all the clubs.
Yeah.
They kind of have like a very long, like one take of just kind of just like going to like the different clubs, but and it's like the back of people's heads.
There's a whole conversation happening and we don't see anyone talking. Everyone is obscured. And I'm like, what is the point of this scene? Like, why are we not getting a cut into them talking to somebody?
Maybe it's like some sort of thing of like, maybe you're not supposed to. Maybe you're just kind of like getting the moment of like, it's overwhelming. You're there, but you're not really able to like concentrate on what's happening.
I don't feel like I'm not able to concentrate. I feel like I'm being left out of the scene. It feels very strange. Blocking is weird. So then we meet the Prince of Wales. He wants to meet Eric. And I wrote down at first, like, Eric is Scottish, so he doesn't look up to the Prince of Wales. He doesn't actually care about national pride. But I realize he does care about national pride, but he doesn't want to run, like I said, because it's the Sabbath. And so there's this whole scene between the Prince of Wales, some other fucking old man, Eric, and then the guy who's, like, helping run the team going to the Olympics.
Okay.
And they're all like, Eric, you gotta run on Sunday. And Eric's like, I am not interested in fucking stop eating the cords.
She really wants to eat the cords.
She really does. She's really into it.
She just slowly sneaks in like, I'm not interested.
It's not even close to you needing to eat, girl. It's fine.
Get an early dinner.
No, not going to happen. Anyway, so this scene is ridiculous because it's literally three guys going like, Eric, you need to run on Sunday. And Eric's like, I'm not going to do it. And they're like, come on. And he's like, no. And it's just that. It's just that for like 20 minutes.
It's exciting.
It's awful. And then Andy walks in and he's like, hey, I have an idea. What if me and Eric just switch races? So I'll run in Eric's place on Sunday and he can run in my place on Thursday. And everyone's like, what a great idea. And they just like shake each other's hands. And then one guy goes, that Eric, he's a true man of principle and a real athlete. And I'm like, who gives a fuck? Weird scene.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. It doesn't really feel like it adds too much to anything, even like their characterization or anything.
Because here's the other thing. I read apparently that Eric was like well aware of this problem like months in advance. He knew when it was going to happen. I'm like, fucking whatever. I know they have to make it dramatic. I wrote down, Sam is played by a white guy. He isn't allowed in the stadium, so they went to a room for him full of liquor to watch from his bedroom window, watch the races.
Hey, you like liquor, you fucking Italian.
You fucking Italian piece of shit.
What is liquor? We know what you're like. Hey, Italian's not going to be a problem. Just put him in there with a bunch of liquor. It'll
There's
be fine.
A liquor and some fucking pepperonis.
I got those little pizzas in there for him. Let's throw them around. It'll be
crazy.
Great.
Yeah, we see the Olympic runs happening while Andy reads from the good book about how God doesn't care about nations. Mm-hmm. This scene was fucking insane. So we see that scene, and then we cut to Harold. And Harold is like laying down on a massage table, and above him is Sam. And Sam is just massaging Harold, just going to fucking town on his back. And Harold is over looking at Audrey.
I see why you can feel this feels like Rocky, because this definitely feels like
it
something.
Feels like you're gonna eat lightning and crap thunder.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, rub this oil in the air. It's gonna help you.
He's like rubbing him, and then Harold's like looking and speaking very quietly at this guy named Aubrey, who I guess they don't like.
Okay.
I don't know. He's some other guy, and he's like, I'm worried. I'm worried because I lost against you, and now I think I might win. I'm terrified of winning. And I'm like, you can't make this fucking guy happy no matter what he does, goddammit.
Nope.
And like, yeah, Sam's just like rubbing his fucking back. And I'm like, this is crazy. It's crazy to see this man just go like, oh yeah, let's get that fucking thing right there, Victor. And it's just like two guys in a room together. And Sam's just like, let's get fucking this, get that fucking knot right out of that back. Hey, and Harold's just sitting there laying at the table, just like, I'm terrified of losing.
This back massage feels like nothing.
I'm terrified of winning. So before the race, Harold finds a letter written from Sam wishing him luck and giving him suggestions on how to win. And before the race, they use like a little like digger, like these little like gardening diggers in the dirt. I'm like, why the fuck do they have those? Oh, apparently you're supposed to dig a little like place to put your foot in the dirt, like to start.
Really?
I don't know, man.
I guess they didn't have those little stands yet. They didn't make those yet.
That's
so
probably what it was.
They probably were like, well, you got a little bit of dirt in there for you.
So they do it, and then we get slow-mo crazy music, and Sam is watching in his room with a little pocket watch to measure how fast Harold goes. And it's kind of crazy. This is the only part of the movie I kind of really loved, other than, I guess, that earlier part where the movie was like, the Olympics don't fucking matter.
Yeah, but then it did.
This part was great. So you see Harold, and he just makes it across, and he does it. He wins. He ends up winning. He's like first place. But then...
he's still sad.
Well, they have this crazy montage of him, like, going and taking a photo and, like, celebrating with his team. But they cut back to the run, and you see him running, like, in slow motion, intercut with him celebrating his success. And it's kind of amazing. It's like his win has not hit him yet.
Hmm.
You know? It's this kind of really real thing where it's, like, he's prepared so much, and he did it. And it was so fast that he, like, now it's really hitting.
Yeah,
him,
how
like,
fast was his run? Was it like a
It was literally a nothing.
Okay, yeah.
I wrote down, it was literally just like it was like a 100-meter dash or whatever.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
It wasn't that fast to fucking all. But he wins. And then we cut to Sam, and he takes his hat off, and the British flag raises, and because they won. And he sits in silence, and he laughs, and he punches the top of his hat, and he's like, my son! Harold packs away the medal that he wins and the charm that Sam had given him a little charm and the little digger that he had to like run in the dirt or whatever. Everyone's like, hey, great job, Harold. And he's like morose. And everyone's like, hey, you don't know what it's like to win. And I'm like, I think it'd be pretty fucking amazing to win, man.
Yeah, I think
like,
it'd be pretty great.
Don't be a fucking bitch about it.
Maybe we don't know because we never raced.
Sybil is told that's true. Sybil is told Harold won 15 minutes until curtain, and so she smiles with pride. And then the old guys who were racist earlier and apparently anti-Semitic hears that Harold won, and one of them's like, just as I expected. And I'm like, oh, fuck yourself.
Oh, shut up, you guys.
Harold and Sam are drunk. Sam says that he won for them, not for the country. And then Sam's like, it's out of your system, lad. So go home to your girl and start living.
Yeah, I mean, because the thing is, the Olympics only happened 4 years, so by then you're old.
You're old, yeah. You're
at that point.
Who gives a shit? Andy is...
You've been drinking, like, because they drank so much back then, you probably drank himself.
That was kind of the crazy thing, is, like, they're in intercut between them, like, preparing for the race. They're smoking, like, chimneys.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just like, damn, is that not bad for your lungs? You're going to be running. Like,
I mean, probably the air in England is probably bad at that point,
too. Yeah,
I suppose
that's true. What are you going to do?
Yesterday Revolution.
Back then, they were probably
something.
Like, you got to smoke at least a pack of, pack before you
run. It clears out your lungs.
It'll be great. Andy's gonna go race. Americans are nervous of him. This guy Schultz, who's an American racer.
So they're in different races. They're in completely different.
They're all in different. Yeah,
they're,
no,
all
they're not gonna
they're
race
just...
against each other.
Oh yeah, okay.
Because they're all British.
I mean, I thought there might be a team or something, but I guess you're right. Yeah, they're the team of racers. Okay.
Yeah, they're all racing in different.
I guess there's no relay racers.
That would be amazing to see a relay race. No, so Andy's racing. Americans are nervous. Schultz gives him a little note. And Schultz is one of the American runners, and Schultz notes is like, hey man, good luck. I really appreciate your faith. Like, I appreciate you like not running on Sunday and then running
Americans
on a different
love that.
Day. Yeah. He's like all for that.
Yeah,
and
man.
So
he's on Turning Point, dude. He's all about
yeah,
that.
That's right. Yeah. He's like Charlie Kirk, RIP.
Yep.
And so then Andy fucking bolts as like the gun goes off, and we see a slow-mo of him talking, and he's like, God made me for a purpose. But he also made me fast.
Yeah.
And he says, when
yeah,
I
brother.
Run, I feel his pleasure. And just as he says
say that
the actor, like, his head just, like, goes back and it looks like he's fucking coming and he's just running so fucking fast. And we get a shot of him like reaching the end. He wins. He's the first place. So the boys return, heroes, everyone cheers, British pride. But again, it's like a pretty like mid like shot of them all returning home.
Yeah.
Sybil waits for Harold at a train station. It's quiet and lonely. He arrives. They kiss. I just wrote down, okay. I wrote down some fucking kid sing some fucking old British song that's creepy.
Oh, it might be that little kid. Is it a little girl?
It's, well, it's, I've realized it's Harold's funeral.
Oh, okay.
And they cut. I wrote down, oh my God, some of the worst old people makeup I've ever seen in my life. Dear Lord, what is going on? And yeah, it's all the old people who are like, oh, Harold was a good man. Oh. And they all like walk out of the church together. And then the thing comes up and they're like, Harold died, as we all know, because we saw. And and Eric died too. And all these people
they
fucking
didn't say how
old.
He died though, huh?
They did. Well, they did say he died. Here's the thing. They did say he died in China, but they didn't they
say
didn't
how, the circumstances around yes. it. Because they did say he was going to go back to China. So it's like, oh, he just lived there then.
Yeah,
it's
they
like,
didn't
no,
explain. They didn't go into the whole backstory.
Japan
which
Japan kind of went crazy then.
Yeah. Yeah. And so then we cut back to the very beginning of the movie of them boys running on the water on the beach. And the song is playing in slow-mo. And then the camera's like moving around the group of them, introducing the actors playing each character.
Mm-hmm.
And then the credits roll. And as the credits are rolling, uh-huh. I'm like, you know, the movie's not over yet. I don't know, maybe the movie will end. It'll be like Chariots of Fire 2 coming soon or whatever, you know? So I'm watching the credits. And the credits are rolling, the credits are rolling. And then we get a little credit, and it says, at the very end of the credits, near the very end of the credits, it says, the producer and director wish to specifically acknowledge the help of Sandy Lieberson, Timothy Burrell, Bernard Coote, and Tim Hampton, without whom? And that's it.
That's it? They don't say what will happen?
No, it says, without whom? Dot, dot, dot. Nothing. And then it's like the production company logos. And I'm like, did they? I looked it up everywhere. I was like, is it on IMDb? Has anyone explained what the fuck's going on? I think I might have been the first person to watch the entire credits of Chariots of Fire and find a mistake in it.
Maybe that's just how British people talk.
Without whom? What?
I don't know. To whom? Like, to whom? It's like, obviously, you know, right? Everyone knows to make the movie.
I don't know. I've never seen this before. I've never seen a thanks.
You watched
to...
a lot of movie, but how many times you watched till the end?
I mean, I'd like to think quite, an,
yeah,
quite
you,
often.
Yeah, you probably
yeah.
do.
But yeah, I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, it feels like someone wrote down, like, without whom, and then we'll fill out the rest later. And then they gave it to the guy to, like, make the credits.
Yeah,
and like they were just like, all right, we'll just put that in there. And then
this
they
is
just
done, right? Eh, fuck it.
Yeah.
Put the print button.
It's fucking crazy. That's so insane. That's the end of the fucking movie.
Man.
I don't know what to think. I was kind of underwhelmed by it.
I was
even really the poster's bad. Have you looked at the poster?
It's not fun.
The poster is bad.
As someone who makes posters, yeah, you have authority to say that.
Yeah, man. It's a bad design. I don't know. I was pretty underwhelmed. I thought it was a bad film.
There's like a couple moments where it's like cool. I could kind of see how maybe this would resonate with the generation that is maybe voting, who might be that same age as those old men in the church, and they're like, remember the good old days, bunch of names you don't remember anymore. That's how I feel about the Oscars. You know, there's a bunch of old people here who remembers the jazz singer anymore. Those are just words on the screen or whatever.
I wonder if it's a situation where they were like, we know who these people are. Like, we know who Eric is. We know who Harold is. Finally, we see their stories on the big screen, you know? I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe, but like, what, 80s? This was being the 80s.
Yeah.
Like close to the 20s. I don't think
yeah, maybe
people
not.
Were around. I mean, a whole war happened. Like, a bunch of people died during that war.
Yeah, that's a fair point. That is kind of an overshadow.
Yeah,
of
there was a huge war between. Heck, yeah. How come none of those guys? Those little guys made it through, huh? Interesting.
I don't know. I mean, one of them is a fucking fake man.
I guess that's true. It's two men put together.
Yeah, it's two guys put together. The gayest man of all.
The gayest man of all.
Yeah. I wonder what that actor's job was like. It's like, so you guys are based on real people, and I'm just a guy.
I'm just some dude for
just
the
story. Some dude? All right, I guess I'll do my best.
Yeah, I don't know why I watched this as a kid either. I feel like it was just a famous
that
movie.
That was a very fair. It feels
my parents just put it on because I think it was at a library or something, right? So
it feels like kind of like this and like Forrest Gump feel like a perfect like
yes.
double feature.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right?
But Forrest Gump at least has some goofy moments. It is like fun sometimes.
He moons the president.
Yes. This has like. Is there anything fun about it? It's so
not really.
Dry.
Yeah, it's very dry.
It's like eating oatmeal
bread.
With no seasoning.
It's like eating bread. It's like going to the restaurant ordering a bread.
This is not just any bread. What if it's Ezekiel bread, though.
Yes.
It's absolutely the driest, boringest bread you could have.
What if you
it's
order
healthy.
Like a bread bowl and inside of the bread bowl is more bread? It's just a bunch of bread in a bread bowl.
Like shredded bread inside
yes.
the bread bowl?
Like bread pieces inside of a bread bowl.
That's rough.
What a time. That is what this feels like.
Yeah. It definitely feels like British literature of like, you gotta know our history. And isn't this part of the history great? And it's like, eh.
I do wonder how much of it is also, I mean, we're American. So we're just like, do we give a shit about a bunch of British boys who won?
I mean, I don't know if I'd care if this was even an American story.
Yeah, that's
though.
A
like,
fair
I'm
point.
Trying to put it in the same perspective. You took everything from this movie, translated to America, I would still just be like,
who cares?
Eh,
yeah.
I don't really care. I mean, unless they inject some sort of something interesting or fun or like, I don't know, anything to care about.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Or humor.
Yeah, some kind of humor.
It's so dry.
Yeah. We need one scene with all the boys in a locker room together, and they're all just like dancing to like Twist and Shout or something.
Yeah,
you know?
we need that. We need something fun because right now this is just like British cuisine, boring,
dry and boring,
unseasoned.
Yeah, no spice. Yeah. Yes, totally.
Like, we'll rely on the blood sausage, which is like cool, I guess. But.
And yeah, I see all these reviews, and everyone's just fucking like enamored. This feels like a movie, like a Forrest Gump. You put this sucker on, and because I remember asking my parents, because like. You know, I had interest in film even when I was a child. And I remember the Chariots of Fire theme being a big thing. And I asked my parents, like, what is this movie about? And I think even my parents were like, it's just a movie about my parents were ahead of the curve. I think it was my dad who said, like, this movie's just about a bunch of guys running. Like, he's just like, that's not even interesting. And honestly, he was right.
Yeah.
Like, he was absolutely right to, like, quash my desire to see this movie. Because as a kid, if I were to watch it, I will give it one thing. I liked certain scenes.
Sure.
And I really liked... Because I really like 101 Dalmatians. I like how like crunchy this.
That's what I'm saying. It's the sound. The
yes,
sound
it
makes
is.
It like very crunchy and like reminiscent of something very flat.
Yes.
And it
weird
just,
like mono style,
like, very crispy. Yeah.
Yeah. It's got that like
it's
like
very cozy. Like I want to fall asleep to it.
Yes. It feels like a crunching fire. That's what most
of
the sound effects
are. Yeah. Yeah. Same. But at least you know, in 101 Dalmatians, there was like fun dogs.
There's
around.
Fun dogs and you know, cute, great animation
great
and
anime.
It's short.
And it's not that long.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I don't know. I thought this movie wasn't very good. But you know what? This is just the start. And I will say, it's definitely better than F1. Oh,
I was more entertained watching F1. I could pay
fast
attention.
Cars cool fast.
Honestly, I was while watching this, I was like, man, watching people run's boring. I want to see cars or something go fast. I want people
they
to see
go faster than the people.
I want to see people. I want to see things racing. I don't want to see or like vehicles being raced. I don't want to see this like people running.
I don't know. There was a one moment when like Harold was getting ready to run, and a little bit of me was like, man, like this kind of is like really overwhelming. Like. It is really just up to you and your feet, like making it to the end of that, you know, like.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. I mean, line, he said, I can't run any faster. It's like, it's not like a car where it's like, oh, I just make the car go faster.
Yeah, like, oh, I'll just like add more stuff to the car. Yeah. And then the FIA will go like, I don't know if you're allowed to have that. And then later on, it'll be like, oh, those documents were forged. So actually you can have that now.
But now, you know what we do? We just do legal drugs.
That's
to make
true.
Ourselves
now we
faster.
Just do drugs. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, whatever. Guys, have you ever run? Email us. Email the other half podcast.com. Find us on Facebook, Instagram. We're also on Blue Sky, and we have a Discord. And if you want to listen to our previous episodes like F1 or any of the other Oscar movies that we watched, you can find them on any podcatching app. And while you're there, please leave a 5-star rating and review. We will read on the show no matter what it says, even if it... I usually try to make something that
make
is
something
about
up, even if you saw a chariot that was on fire and you want to tell a story about it.
What is the title?
It's about chariots that are on fire.
Good night, everybody.
Because a bunch of boys are carrying it, it's going so fast.
They're so
on
fast.
Fire. I don't know. Why is it called that?
I don't know.
I'll look it up real quick. Like, I want to know why is it called Chariots of Fire.
Let me look it up. Chariots of Fire. Let me just pull up that.
There's never a moment where he goes, this is just like a chariot of fire.
You boy, you're a chariot of fire. When Colin Welland completed his first draft, the only title he could come up with was Runners. Then one Sunday evening, he turned on BBC's religious music series, Songs of Praise, featuring the hymn Jerusalem, which lyrics from the poem lyrics from the poem William Blake. The chorus included the words, "Bring me my chariot of fire." The rider leaped to his feet and shouted to his wife, "I got it, Pat. Chariots of Fire. The Jerusalem hymn is featured at the beginning and at the end of the movie." Mm. So there you go. There you go. Boring. Would you guys like to discuss the movies that we talked about on the podcast, recommend movies for future episodes, or maybe even watch movies with us? Check out the Discord.
You can find the Discord on the latest episodes or on the website, theotherhalfpodcast.com. We're just hanging out chatting.
And while you're there, maybe also check out the second of the Discord, which is specifically for Ethan's streams on Twitch. You get updates as to when he goes live. Just keep up to date with us, with Ethan, the podcast, and the stream.
It's also totally okay if you just want to hang out and talk about the podcast. You could hang out there and maybe we'll see you there and watch a movie or something.
Or maybe you're like, wow, these streams are so much better, and you just totally ignore the podcast. That's also another option.
That could happen.
Why not?
The Discord is your oyster. Come join us.
The Discord is your oyster. Join it.